Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists, they did. They absolutely got it correct, and I say that emphatically more and more as we watch all that is going on around us. Yes, and this is Tom Novoulos, your host. Delighted to be with you again this week. It's just been really an exciting week as we have been hearing the insanities. No. As we learned last week, and with my new article that is up in the Capitol Hill Outsider, that it's a plan. It's not just a tinfoil hat conspiracy. No, this has been a well thought out plan. It's called partially the Kozak plan, but intently, it has been something that has been going on since the beginning of time. Well, not the beginning of time, because God created everything relatively. No, he did. He created everything perfect, but man fall. So let's put it this way. It's been going on since the fall of man, and the conspiracies that have ensued from a power perspective, and then I guess we could look at it if you really look at the historical scripture. Before man, there was that battle in heaven of and the third of the angels with Lucifer were dashed out. That kind of sets the stage there when we start looking at the stuff that went on this past week with the old Jerry Knucklehead, Nadler, and the old Adam Shift Brain, or Shift Forebrain, and that I said shift, not what you may have thought I said. I have to get that right. We have to keep this kind of in a realm of manly, what do they want to call it? Yes, something that is nice. But with that, we're going to talk about some manly stuff today because our founders were very intent on that. So here's what we're going to cover. I'm going to put up for you a little bit there on a chart here relative to the article that I just have had published in the Capitol Hill Outsider, and in that chart, you will gladly see the Congressional Progressive Caucus, a portion of it. We talked about that last week. We saw some of the bits and pieces in there, but I wanted to zero that down a little bit more in the article, and I'll just splash that up for you here right now, and you can take a look at where that leadership is. Now, you'll notice that Adam Shift for Brains is not there. But if we take a look at some of the work that Trevor Loudon has done, which I am not referencing here in the video portion of this program for you, but we can take and find that he is definitely a communist. He is supported by communists. He is made by communists. And so we have both Jerry Nadler, or Knucklehead, and the other. And isn't that interesting? I showed you that map last week where all of the progressives were primarily on the coast. So you have on the one side, you have the Knucklehead Nadler out of New York. And on the other side, you have Adam there from California. Oh, that would be right-hand, left-hand type thing. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The fun part of it is that we know that they are the enemies within. They are the enemies that are there in Congress with the other 96 of them, as we showed you last week. So that comes to this whole point that this is a definite Kozak-planned coup. Nothing else. Nothing else we can say. And we need to bring that out very, very strongly. And, I don't know. Maybe, just maybe, all of that area that those 98 people represent are, in fact, communists. I don't know. Or maybe they are so duped by the language of those people that they know no better. And so they just go along with it because they just go along. Well, those are some of the warnings that our founding fathers definitely had to talk to us about. It gets into this next phase of that plan with all these open borders, with all of those various components of the amnesty, with everything that we're hearing from the squad, the AOC-ish, the other communist jihadist, is that whole combination of, yes, we need to give everybody a $15 minimum wage, and not only that, all of those illegal immigrants need to have health care for life. Wow. And who's going to pay for it? Oh, you know what? I'm going to bet on this one, that somewhere in, okay, so I'll bet you a glass of water. That's the best I can do, because someday we may really need that water. But the best I can do is say that I would wager to say that sometime in the next year or so, that the squad or one of the other communist jihadists that are there out of that 98 plus, because there's the plus there, we talked about that last week. Within that plus somewhere, somebody's going to come up with the old Hillary plan. Remember that? You remember during the Bill Clinton administration, Hillary not only was talking about that it takes a village to take care of indoctrination of your children, it takes that village. But no, she also talked about, she did talk about the universal health care. Yeah, she talked about that. But she talked about your house. Your house. If there's only two of you in a three-bedroom home, well, you know what? Those other two bedrooms are for the illegals. They're for the illegals. They're for those people that, the government shouldn't house them. You should. You should house them. And if you have a basement, well, oh my, you can convert that basement to hold more people. So, you know what? The housing problem solved. It's all solved. Hey, the tent cities are solved. Hey, you know what? I'm telling you, the whole idea of this so-called family separation, when most of them aren't even related, figure that. But all of that is solved because they don't have to use those military bases. They don't have to build those tents. They don't have to do any of that. They're just coming to your house. That was Hillary's plan. And if she would have been president, I guess she would have done that. But I'll back off on the wager. Glass of water, I'll back off on that glass of water. Yeah, somebody's going to come up with that again and, resurrect that whole idea that your house does not belong to you. And under the New Green Deal, if they tear your house down because it doesn't meet their environmental standards, well, you just move in with your neighbor that does. That's that simple. All that fun stuff to say that we're going to go back and we're going to revisit a little bit of stuff, because I think it's most interesting that everything that just happened this week, all of the Nadler Dadler and Shifty Nifty, gobbledygook, and oh my goodness, brain dead Mueller. Whoa, Kath was putting some of that up, and I'll tell you what, you talk about somebody that was more senile than, I can't even describe it. It was, listening to that guy talk was like he was missing his marbles. You remember the Robin Williams version of Peter Pan and the dude that was chasing around looking for his marbles? Yeah, that's who Mueller reminded me of, him just flat out, bumbling, babbling, boondoggling. Anyway, what's important about all of that is that none of these people, including some of the Reputicans, none of these people clearly have read, the Constitution, except for when it's read in Congress and they participate in that, but they don't pay attention to the words. But none of them have ever, ever read especially when it comes to the whole idea of immigration, the debates on the Constitution, the anti-federalist papers on the Constitution. They haven't done any of that. Well, we're going to cover some of that today. That's what we'll do in the second and third segment. And I don't know if we'll be able to tie that together totally into the third segment as it gets rebroadcasted on Dr. Spalding's station there at WTTP in Lima, Ohio, 101.1 FM. But you know what? Everybody at Liberty Works Radio Network, they're going to be able to grab a hold of the whole thing. But, you know, there it is again. It's all up at SamuelAdamsReturns.net where all the archives are so that you can get those archives to the programs and all of the other materials that we are continuing to develop. And the links we're trying to reassociate again with the National Center for Development of Constitutional Strategies, which is something that I have neglected for quite a while, but you know what? I don't hear anybody complaining. So with that, we're going to kind of do a little bit of a review on something I did back in 2016 called Trump's 10-Point Plan Aligns with Founders' Intent. I thought that it was absolutely critical that we review what's going on the immigration front, because with this wanting the $15 an hour thing and with wanting health care for illegals and the fact that California has now, and this is what blows me away. What blows me away is that where is the civil unrest with true patriots in California? I mean, you know what? What are you thinking? What are you doing? That you allowed your legislature and that communist that you have as a governor to take and pay for all of the illegals' health care? I mean, we're doing it nationally anyway. It's costing us billions of dollars out of your money, out of my money. For these illegals, you know, it just makes me speechless that here it is. And they want to do that. They want to codify it. They want to legislate it from the national position. We're going to talk about this national positioning, what the anti-federalists were warning about. But, you know, just in the whole thing on the 10-point plan, I'm going to take and relink it. And it is in the promo, but on the website at SamuelAdamsReturns.net. In that archive, you will definitely be able to see the 10-point plan again with all of the historical significance that I put there, you know, from the likes of Dr. Donald S. Lutz and his work on colonial origins of American Constitution, a documentary of the history of it. And off of those various pages and what he had to say and what it meant to be a constitutional government, the arguments classifying the citizens and interstate rights, that's in the, all in the Constitution. It was all in the debates. We're going to talk about that in the debates. And what does it mean for the powers of prescribing general law? In the acts of all of that, we're going to talk about establishing national sovereignty, what James Wilson stipulated. Well, it's in the document that you'll be able to download. The memoir of Theophilus Parsons, who was a Chief Justice of the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts, and what he had to say in his memoirs about all of this. We're going to go then, and I'm not going to go because I got so much more to cover. But you're going to go because you're going to go read this again, this PDF that's there on the Wall Street Journal summary of Trump's 10 points on immigration. You know, he's been doing it. And Sam Adams had a lot to say about governance in general. And as we take a look at what we're going to be discussing in the next segment, you know what? Those anti-federalists, they predicted this week. They predicted today where we are because we have not been following the principles set forth by them. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to the second segment of Samuel Adams Returns Those Anti-Federalists. They got it right. And as always, and I will say that, here it is. We're here primarily at Liberty Works Radio Network, where liberty works for you and all of the great programming that's here. And I am so delighted that you continue to join me on this program. And yes, there is that donate button there. Check out those hosts and hostesses and hit that donate button, because this is a listener-funded network. It is for you, and about your liberty. And I am Tom Navolis, your host, and we are delighted to just keep on cruising through, looking at where I left you off with those anti-federalists having it right and talking about what? The Trump 10-point plan. I'm going to cover that real quick. And then you can go to the document that I talked about in the first segment. It's there in the links at the archives. So you can go look at it, read it, read the analysis that I put up in the front end from a founder's perspective. But then the 10 points are, number one, we will build a wall along the southern border. Well, got to. And some of the things that Trump has said is that even with the old wall, they're tearing that thing out and they're putting the foundation 7 to 10 feet down. And why is that? Because of the tunneling. That's a lot of interesting construction to go a foundation for all of that 7 to 10 feet down and then go up higher. Number two is end catch and release. Now, one and two is obviously extremely difficult because it requires congressional action. And we know that the Democrats will never, ever, ever go along with this, as they are not. So, you know what? As we're coming to 2020, you have some hard work to do. You have some thinking to do. You have some action to take. And get your butts out of your seats and your feet on the street to help everyone, even down to the school board level, down to the water board level, who is patriotic, who understands constitutional fundamentals. They may not understand the depth of it, but they have to have constitutional fundamentals. Otherwise, they're going to roll over. Just like any of the regular Republicans do, they just roll over. Zero tolerance for criminal aliens. I think that the president is making really good on what he's doing with ICE, and he's taking and slamming on those criminal illegals. We got to keep them going. And you know, all illegals are criminals, let's face it. But any of those that don't show up for their court dates, and then the worst of the worst, have to go. Those that are actively pursuing careers in criminality, we know that the illegals, which are criminals, there's a good number of them that are not pursuing careers in criminality. They're pursuing careers that you could have, that high schoolers can have, that other kids can have, that if people didn't have a holier-than-thou, greater-than-whatever mindset and attitude or gimme-gimme-gimme attitude that's in the schools, they'd be out there digging the dirt, plowing the sod, picking the fruit, picking the produce. They'd go out and do the jobs that Americans should be doing. Hey, entry-level, baby. Entry-level job, whether it's flipping burgers or it's cutting grass. Or whatever it is, get out there and make sure that you're in working with those that are constitutionally minded. And then it's your responsibility to keep them from flipping. All right, let's see what else we have. Number four, block funding for sanctuary cities. My goodness, he has made efforts to do that. But you know what? The socialists in the courts, all of those that we talked about last week in the bureaucracies, what do? They turn around and sue them. And some of the things we're going to talk about here real quick is that, you know what? The states are bass ackwards. The states are bass ackwards in that You know what? They're suing the president for what really should be they're wanting to have for states' rights and to want to have this. Anyway, number five, cancel unconstitutional executive orders and enforce all immigration laws. He's making efforts at that. You know, and I don't know. I haven't gone back and looked at how many executive orders he's actually canceled. And you have to remember that it takes an executive order to cancel an executive order. So I think it would be very, very interesting to do that study. That may be something I take on when, you know, I have some spare time, whatever that is. I know you have it. So you can take that on. Go figure out how many unconstitutional executive orders President Trump has signed out of action. That would be an interesting one. Six, going to suspend the issuance of visas to any place where adequate screening cannot occur. I think he's done that. I think he's won on that one, especially on that lawsuit that went through. Let's see. Number seven, we will ensure that other countries take their people back when we order them deported. He's doing that. He's doing that. Load them up on the plane and send them home, baby, because they don't belong here. And you know, my whole thing is we've poured millions and millions and billions of dollars into these Central and South American countries, but because they do not have the value system, the moral Christian Reformation value system that our founding fathers have, they are subservient because of their tribal entities and because of the missionaries and religion that are a bunch of socialists down there in their countries. So they don't know how to fight for themselves. They don't know how to stand up. And remember, I've been to just about every one of those countries. So I'm speaking from experience, not from just talking about out of the air, pulling it out of a hat somehow. All right. Number eight, we will finally complete the biometric entry exit visa tracking system. I think they've made progress on that. I think that has been even taken to court. I don't know. That's an interesting one. I'm not super hot on that for we Americans, if we're valid Americans, but they're doing that in relationship to passports and visas, especially visas. Not as much. We just renewed our passports and we didn't have to do any biometric stuff. We just had to do the normal stuff of resubmitting for our passports. Number nine, we will turn off the jobs and benefits magnet. I think he's doing that. He's really starting to do that, especially we're seeing that more people are going to work and getting off food stamps and now taking and cutting those benefits to the illegals, which I think that is phenomenal. So I think that's in progress. And is E-Verify everywhere right now? I'm not sure. So, you know, this is kind of a check along the way, and I didn't do all of the statistical analysis on it, but, you know, we can see a difference. We have a long way to go there. Long way to go. Number 10, we will reform legal immigration to serve the best interest of America and its workers. Well, at the moment, I believe President Trump has been doing a phenomenal job of attempting to do that. And I'm glad he has many staff members that are in many ways running their heads against the brick wall of Congress. Because right now, the way the House is, it is. That's a brick wall. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to just real quick, is that the budget that has been negotiated, ladies and gentlemen, that budget stinks. And I know, I understand that we need more money for the military, but what is in that budget, it's like, wait a minute, you're funding a whole bunch more of the progressive communist insanities in that deal than you are cutting them. And Mr. President and Congress people, It's time to cut. And you know what? If it takes a shutdown again, come on. Have the kahunas to do it, because those communists need to have the pressure put on them. We'll come back around. And then again, I'm asking each and every one of you that are listening to this or watching the video that you need to get out there and fight. Find those that you can take a stand with and help them get elected. Help them get elected. Stand with them. Fight with them. That's what it is. We're in a battle. We are in the fight because we have so many of the socialist, communist, slash, if you want to call them progressive, but I'm going to call them what they are. They're socialists and communists. We have them in our bureaucracies. We have them in our county seats. You have them in your cities. You have them in your library boards. You have them in your water boards. You have them in your mental health boards. You have them in your school boards. You have them as teachers. You have them everywhere. And guess what? Hey, you pastors. Hey, you out there. Let me see. Where are you? Yeah, you that are church leaders. You that are what? Deacons that your elders or whatever you want to call yourselves, you're not leaders of the gospel. If you're allowing the evil to become predominant in this republic, this constitutional republic that is always and has been for a moral and virtuous people only. And if you're not out there fighting and doing that, and ensuring that we have a moral and virtuous people, well, I guess you're ignorant and you're cowards. And I'm not apologizing anymore for taking that hardline position, because you know what? Hey, I'll take the Jeremiah stand. You know, I challenged people on that last week, is, you know, where's our Jeremiahs? You know, I'll go crying in the wilderness if I have to. But the fact is, you need to do something. So, you know, man up. Time to man up. Let's see here. Guess what do we got? About 2 minutes left, Kat, somewhere in that time frame. In the last 2.5 minutes, I think that it's very important to kind of summarize that we have had a lot of good successes. And there is a great hope, a very great hope. That great hope happened this week. Also, even though we had the insanity, well, actually, we had the well-thought-out plan of those communist insurgents in Congress, but our great hope is in what Charlie Kirk is doing with the youth. And I'll tell you what, Turning Point and Blexit with Candace Owen. My goodness, thank you, Lord, that there are things happening that are touching that youth in such a way that it's bringing back those values. I think that in listening to some of the work that they're doing, is that what they are absolutely keyed on is constitutionalism as a moral and virtuous people, which means we have a lot of young people out there that are willing to put it on the line, that are willing to go into the cesspools of the educational system, both in the high schools and at the college level. Hey, parents. Hey, you there. Yeah, you pastor. Hey, you uncle, aunt, grandma. Hey, Grandpa, what the heck are you doing to support your grandkids, great-grandkids, and children in a fight for liberty? Oh, that's so nice, Johnny. Yes, I'll pat your head, and you go out there, and you know what? Oh, you're running around with that crazy Charlie Kirk guy. No, no, they got more guts. You know what? They have the guts of Iwo Jima. They have the guts of D-Day. They have the guts of Chosin Reservoir. They have the guts of Flanders Field. Where are you? Sam Adams and the Founding Fathers had the guts to stand up. Those pastors had the guts. And the anti-federalists warned us all about it. So come on back for the third segment. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this third segment of Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists, they did. They got it right. And I'm going to prove some of that to you. Well, we're going to start a little bit before the anti-federalists. We're actually going to get into the discussions during the Constitutional Convention. And those discussions during that Constitutional Convention, you know, folks don't read it. Folks don't take the time to read this stuff. And I know I've had that question asked before. Tom, you put all of that stuff in there and all those references. Do you expect us to read that? Yeah, I do. Yeah, because not only do I put it there as a source so that you know I'm not just blowing in the wind and smoke is coming out of my lips and ears, even though my mustache is white. No, I put it there for you to read. You know, the whole thing about it is now you're not going to get it, and students aren't going to get it in schools or universities. You have to read it for yourself. Oh, well, that's enough of that, I guess, Tom. Anyway, we had the constitutional debates that were going on, and this was Saturday, July 14th, and we were talking about this whole issue on, you know, electing. What is the House going to look like? How will they have power? What does it mean? Who's going to happen? What's going to go on here? Are we going to have foreign influences? What do we do? What do we do when someone comes into this country? How do we know when it's time to let Omar, T-Lab, and the other two schmuckle-duckle jihadist communists, when can they become elected? What should our citizens look like? What should it be that they should participate in even as they learn to become citizens? You know what? These arguments were absolutely designed around the thought of what Omar and T-Lab took and argued against. Omar, in particular, she made some comment to somebody else about a deportation issue. She made a comment to somebody else about, oh, no, we don't need to become what? American, we bring our culture and we could do whatever. No. It is the idea of becoming American with the American culture, with the understanding of the foundations and the principles of America to stay America. And all for the last 80 years, we haven't done it, nor have the educational systems, and worse, nor have the churches done anything about it to maintain what we need to have an American culture. Oh, but we're a melting pot and we have all of this. You know, my mom was first generation American. Yeah. Did they have a Polish cultural center? Sure. Was there a Polish neighborhood around? Yeah, but you know what? They're American first. It was, you speak Polish, fine. But you better learn how to speak English, and you do it well, and you learn how to be an American. Wow. Really? We don't get that with the jihadists that are coming in. We don't get that with all the illegals coming in, and when the illegals are a cross-pollination of everything. They're not just Central Americans. They're more Somalians. They're South African. They're this, they're that. They're, you know, so many different things. When I talk to some of the leaders in the Border Patrol, it's a mess. But you know what our founder said during this time is that here's a Mr. Sherman. Here's a thought that he has. You know, Mr. Sherman thought there was no probability that the number of future states would exceed that of the existing states in the event should ever happen, it was too remote to be taken into consideration at this time. Besides, We are providing for our posterity, for our children and our grandchildren, who would be as likely to be citizens of the new Western states as of the old states. On this consideration alone, we ought to make no such discrimination as was proposed by the motion. And the motion that was proposed is that it would be like 7 years before somebody could become a representative in government. And that 7 years was in particular so that the people could become real Americans. They could be indoctrinated in American culture, in American thought, in American morality, in American governance, and what that means. But no, not to be, as we know. So they were even having those arguments on how big the state should be as we looked at the Western territories, because at that time, remember, we were looking at from the coastal Atlantic coast to the Mississippi. And what would that mean? What would those resources mean? And quite frankly, the eastern states were worried about the mass migrations to the west to such an extent that when members of Congress would come in from these states based on what's the problem today? What is the argument today? It is about districting. Districting. What is the population base by which you will redistrict for congressional seats? Oh, how interesting. That was an argument that was going back all the way to the first constitutional discussions. Now, Mr. Jerry talked about if some of our children should remove, others shall stay behind. And he thought that incumbent on us to provide for their interest. There was a range of immigration from eastern states to the western country, and he did not wish those remaining behind to be at the mercy of the immigrants. Besides, here you go, foreigners are resorting to that country, and it is uncertain what turn things may take there. Oh, right away, we're looking at foreigners. Well, Colonel Mason came up with the idea, he says, was for opening the door for immigrants, but did not choose to let foreigners and adventurers make laws for us and govern us. Citizenship for 3 years was not enough for ensuring that local knowledge, which ought to be possessed by the representative. This was the principal ground of his objection to a short term. Okay. It might also happen, quote, that a rich foreign nation, for example, Great Britain, might send over her tools who might bribe their way into the legislature for insidious purposes. He moved that 7 years instead of three be inserted. Governor Morris seconded that, and the discussion went on. It even went on what is a resident versus an inhabitant versus a citizen. You see, the level of detail that was going into these conversations, was there and is there original intent as to how the Constitution should be executed? I've said all along, the answer is yes. It's not just in these discussions. It's also in the extended writings. We're not going to get to everything that all of the Anti-Federalists had to say, but I think it's incumbent upon you to look at the notes that are there at SamuelAdamsReturns.net for this program to look at what I pulled out in these discussions on Article 4, Section 2. What was taken up there? Article 5, Section 3. You know, here's something that, you know, they continued to talk about as what, you know, not just what the inhabitants were, but they were talking about, at one point, 14 years for citizenship. This was it. On Article 5, Section 3 was taken up, and Governor Morse moved to insert 14 years instead of 4 years for for citizenship as a qualification for senators in particular. Ladies and gentlemen, it is extremely important to understand that we need to have people that clearly know and adopt what it means to be a citizen of the United States. The little classes that they get and the little tests that they take is not enough, quite frankly. According to our founders, it's not enough. You know, we've set some time limits, but we've made the knowledge base cheap. We've made the knowledge base less than nothing. But I will have to say, in some cases, the knowledge base of those that become naturalized citizens is greater than a college graduate. So I'm going to digress a little bit here. There's these letters from Agrippa, which was in 28th of December in 1787. And he was talking about Pennsylvania, and they were talking about this whole idea of receiving foreigners as citizens and what happens with that, the equal weight of that in the other states. And he puts this up, and I'm going to go with this one. What do we got, 2 minutes, Kath? A little bit over 3 minutes. Listen to this very, very carefully, because this is something that has happened to America. And in that whole course of that discussion, he goes on here to say that to receive foreigners as citizens, yet reason of equal weight may induce other states to do so. Differently circumstanced to keep their blood pure. They're not letting people in. They want to keep their blood pure. There was nothing wrong with a state saying no to immigrants. But here, listen to this. Pennsylvania has chosen to receive all that would come here. That's to open my arms here. Come on in, all you illegals, California. And in doing so Pennsylvania chose to open it all up. Let any indifferent person judge whether that state, in point of morals, education, energy, is equal to any of the eastern states, the small states of Rhode Island being an exception. Pennsylvania, in the course of a century, and we're talking about in 1787, in the course since 1687, Pennsylvania, in a course of a century, has acquired her present extent and population at the expense of religion and good morals. The eastern states have, by keeping separate from foreign mixtures, acquired their present greatness in the course of a century and a half, and have preserved their religion and morals. They have also preserved the manly virtue which is equally fitted for rendering them respectable in war and industrious in peace. That's that manliness that I was talking about all the way back in the first segment. But look at what happened. When you open it up, you destroy what? Your religion and your morality. California, New York, Massachusetts, all of the others. But he was saying here is that those states that are now trashed, just look at Pennsylvania in 100 years, trashed in their religion and their morality. Why is it important that we have borders? Why is it important that we have strong immigration laws? Why was the Trump 10-point plan important to go through from that historical foundational perspective? Is because of the fundamental change that occurs. And we've had that change going on for over 100 years because we have not ensured that people correctly assimilate into America. And we have allowed them to continue to be jihadists and communists here in America. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got our work cut out for you. And if you want America to be America, we must reelect Donald Trump in 2020. And we must be preparing our youth and the next generation to uphold those values. We must get out there and get our pastors to understand these truths and principles and get them engaged. You know why? Because Sam Adams knew that. And his good pastor friends understood that. And the anti-federalists, as we just read, have warned us about it. So come on back next week.